This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17 on the dot and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And now for our next story, we're checking in with the tourism industry as COVID-19 cases continue to rise. Key players have been asking the government to not instate a second MCO because they cannot afford another ban on domestic travel. Instead, they've urged the government to control the numbers. And that, I think, is in line with what we heard earlier from the Prime Minister, who has said explicitly that at the moment there isn't going to be a second lockdown. Malaysian Chinese Tourism Association President Albert Tan said that the industry was expecting a large number of travellers in November and December, which is traditionally the high season. But he also added that many are already cancelling their plans and that another lockdown would only cause irreversible damage to the economy. I think this extends to businesses all round here in the country. But as we've been saying from the very beginning, with this virus, one of the key industries that has been hardest hit has, of course, been tourism. So in light of that, we thought we would check in with Nigel Wong, who is the Honorary Sec-Gen at the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, or MATA. If you have any questions or thoughts on local tourism and how you feel about travel at the moment, actually, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Nigel, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
So how have things been with tourism during the RMCO? Has demand picked up in the last few months?
Well, we've seen businesses start to pivot. So travel agencies, especially who traditionally did outbound, you know, has switched to doing more domestic tourism. Domestic tourism has picked up, but it's only marginal in terms of what the agents are starting to see. But I think that could change as more people start to travel locally.
So in this recovery period, if I can call it that, what has been the main feedback from the industry's players about what's needed or what it's been like? What have the struggles been?
Well, the main concerns remain the same. That's number one, being able to keep our staff on the payroll. Because obviously when the borders start opening, we will need specialized staff to handle the various types of tourists coming into the country again. And I think the second most important thing on the minds of most travel agencies is the bank moratoriums, because given the extended nature of the virus, it looks like people are going to have to keep their cash in hand in order to survive until the following year.
You mentioned pivoting earlier, so let's talk about that. How have businesses such as hotels and agencies and all the various service providers that come in to factor in local tourism, how have they adapted to stay afloat?
Well, it's interesting because some key tourism players like hotels, for example, have started to really innovate in terms of what they provide. We've heard of hotels going into the medical tourism line, providing rooms for special types of niche markets. You know, we've even heard of one, though I can't remember the name of the hotel, which has started to do services for mothers who have just given birth.
Ah, confinement.
Confinement, that's right. Yeah. I think some of the other service providers, like travel agencies, have started to look at selling different types of products online just to keep their teams and their people employed. But in terms of pivoting, though, in terms of agencies, we've seen some agencies start to go a little more tech-oriented, but we haven't seen a lot of major innovation in the way travel agencies and operators are doing business at the moment.
And for MATA's part, how is MATA supporting these businesses?
Well, MATA is still going to be providing platforms, whether it's online or physical platforms, for tourism businesses to continue promoting their services and products. Apart from that, we're lobbying hard, you know, with both private sector and government to have special programs put in place to help these travel agencies and operators start innovating. Our target is basically to make sure that when borders do reopen, we're going to be ready for the inbound tourists who are bound to, you know, want to travel abroad, and Malaysia would be one of the more attractive destinations to visit.
Actually, are you guys really anticipating a lot of inbound travel? I mean, and I suppose where are the markets? We spoke about this previously, the last time we had you on the show, and I'm just interested to know, you know, with COVID-19 being so fluid, the situation being fluid worldwide, where are we anticipating travellers to be coming from?
Okay, in terms of time frame, we're not expecting anything to really happen until probably the middle of next year, given where the airlines are heading and given where the pandemic is headed itself. But that being said, we do anticipate, based on the buying patterns at the moment and what we hear and what we see in other countries, happening in other countries, that there is a pent-up desire to travel. So once the vaccine comes into full production, once airlines start to normalize their operations, and once people start to be more confident about travel, we're actually quite confident that the numbers of tourists coming into the region, not just Malaysia, is going to be quite good and possibly even better than what we would normally see on a regular year, mostly due to this pent-up desire and the need to travel.
Excellent. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. So one thing I wanted to know is also, based on what the industry has observed, how compliant have domestic travellers been to the SOPs, and are service providers enforcing them tightly? Because as somebody who has recently travelled out of state, I will say that it's a mixed bag, I think. Different spaces, you do see people being compliant at vastly different levels.
I'm going to have to agree with you there, because I've done quite a bit of travelling myself, and it really boils down to the individual. And unfortunately, not everybody is responsible enough to, you know, have that check and balance, that self-check and balance. So, for example, even in KL itself, you know, you go around to some of the eateries, you get people who don't bother to check in or do the temperature checks, and establishments who are maybe too busy at the moment to even allocate someone to actually do the checks for people. So you're right. It is a mixed bag. In terms of people traveling around the country, that's the exact scenario we're looking at. However, that being said, in general, I think Malaysians are still very cognizant of the fact that they need to maintain the SOPs. So at the moment, the hope is more people will start to observe the SOPs and be a little bit stricter when it comes to actually practicing them.
Now, we have just heard the Prime Minister saying that there isn't going to be another MCO, not a return to the first strictest version of it. Having said that, there are constant fears, I think, of that potentially happening, or for that matter of tourism hotspots going into TEMCOs, right? What are your thoughts on this, and how would it affect the industry as a whole? Should there be either a nationwide lockdown or an isolated lockdown?
Okay, first and foremost, fingers crossed, there will not be any more nationwide lockdowns, because, quite frankly, businesses, not just the tourism industry, can ill afford another nationwide lockdown. So on that note, what the Prime Minister has just said is very welcome news. And I think, given that now we are a bit more familiar with the virus and how it behaves, how transmission patterns are like, and to a certain degree, how we can localize, target and control it. I think the current strategy of having TEMCOs, as inconvenient as they may be to people in that location, is probably going to be something that is going to be beneficial to the entire country in the long run. So basically what we're saying is, if there is an outbreak in a certain area, lock the area down temporarily for a short period of time, control it so that the rest of the country can continue to operate as normal. In short, thank God there's no MCO.
In closing then, and I think we've covered this in brief, but we have a couple of minutes left. What are your hopes and plans for the tourism industry moving forward? Perhaps not for the rest of the year, because there are very few months left, but heading into 2021?
Well, I think what the tourism industry should look at now is, even though it may not be the best kind of conditions to do so, now is actually a good time, given a limited ability to operate, to think about ways that we can innovate further in the products and services that we provide, do a bit of advanced marketing, and again, prepare for the eventuality that borders will reopen, and that when they do, we need to be in a position to make full use of it.
Nigel, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Pleasure.
That was Nigel Wong, Honorary SecGen at the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, that's MATA. If you have any thoughts on travelling at the moment, on tourism in Malaysia and its recovery, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.